Today, as we continue our sermon series, How I Met Your Jesus, our sermon is Faith and Friends, and this will be our third sermon from the first chapter of John. And today we're going to begin first chapter, beginning with the 43rd verse, going through verse 46. Hear these words. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So how many of you out there in the audience today actually have a BFF? Anybody got a BFF? Yeah, hey, some of y'all need to get y'all a BFF. It ain't good not to have a BFF. Everybody needs a best friend that they consider their best friend forever, you know? We all have those people who stand with us, those people in our lives who encourage us, those people, it seems, from the moment that we meet, they are a forever friend. Over time, we may, in a lifetime, end up with maybe 2, 3. You got to be really special to end up with 5 BFFs, you know? Usually, if you end up with 2, you can consider yourself blessed. Why? Because when you think about your BFF, could you really stand to have more than one of them? I mean, just think about that person, the one that really knows who you are, who speaks truth to power, who makes you cringe sometimes, but they love you enough to tell the truth. How many of them do you really want on your journey? As I tell people all the time, Tim always scares me. Tim Wynn, he shows up on Sunday, and I say, "Hey, Tim, man, how you doing?" He said, "Oh, Pastor Bev, if I was in the bed, I'd be 3 people." I said, "Now, I love one of you. But you know, having 2 more Tims, Jerry, I think you and I have a problem on our hands." He told me last week, he said, "Yeah, because you'd have to run them other 2 down. They would be the ones in trouble, not him," right? You know? But most of us, if we have 2 or 3 best friends, when you think about it, what really makes them your BFF? I don't know about you, but my BFF and I, we're pretty different. It's sort of strange because as you consider that person, the one who stands in the gap with you, the one who speaks truth to power, that person has unique differences. And when you think about how close you become over the years, it usually is the differences that have drawn you together even more strongly than some of your similarities. Think about that person for a moment. Who loves you enough outside of your spouses, your parents, and your family members? Who loves you enough who will go through everything with you and love you still? Who, when you get so excited and you want to make a choice, you're looking for a cheerleader, you don't look at your BFF because your BFF is going to give you reality. You got to have them. Well, in the preparation of this sermon, I discovered something new. And I know I've had to preach this sermon a couple of times in the last 20 plus years, you know. But for the first time, I really realized that Jesus, who was a carpenter, never chose a carpenter as a disciple. Think about all of the disciples. There is not a carpenter among them. He chose people who were uniquely different from himself. Now, how many of us like to be with people who are just like us? We say that, but we're not for real. Honey, get that hand out, boy. You know you're not for real. Anyway, your grandma couldn't take more than one of you. You know? Most of us, we like to be in our comfort zone. We like to go to churches with people like us. We like to go to parties with people like us. But Jesus cultivated relationships with people who were very much different from himself. Thought about that for a moment. I mean, it was such an astounding awakening for me. I text my sister and I said, "Hey, sis, why do you think Jesus never chose a carpenter as a disciple?" You know, she's Baptist, so she comes back with a real answer, like, "Because carpenters have to stay home to build stuff." Hey, that's simple. But the thing that I notice is that carpenters tend to do their very best work working alone. Every now and then, I'll see one of my great carpenters around the church, and I'll see them with an apprentice. I was talking about Chuck Martin. Every now and then, Chuck is coming in to work on something at the church. He'll bring his grandson. He doesn't bring both of them. He'll bring one. And that one will have the toolbox. And Chuck is teaching him. Chuck is investing in him. Chuck is pouring his time into him. He's teaching him very valuable skills. But Chuck does that one on one. Now, when you think about it, carpenters will rarely work in groups. They are meticulous people. But fishermen love to be with other fishermen. Most fishermen that I know, they don't care. They'll take on kids, they'll take on teenagers, they'll take on seniors. All they want you to know is, do you want to go fishing? You don't have to have skill. All you got to have is desire to go fishing. Fishermen fish, and in the fishing, they cultivate relationships with all who are on their expedition. Even Hollywood has captured the importance of cultivating relationships wherever you are planted. Now, think about some of those shows that you see up there. You've got Cheers, you got Friends, you got Frasier, you got Home Improvement, Seinfeld, and of course we had to add How I Met Your Mother. In every one of those sitcoms, there is a quirky person. It's a quirky person, and if you think about some of those, you usually remember the quirky one more than you remember the others. But all of these stories woven together are all about forming relationships. All of them involve people who were ready, willing, and able, though very different, to invest in each other's lives. They all involve time together. They involve a sense of we belong. There is a connectedness. There is an acceptance that is so much bigger than the differences. And, you know, this comes over if you listen to the lyrics of Cheers. You remember that song? Sometimes you want to go. Now you know what age some of the people are in this room. You want to go where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad that you came. They're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see. Our troubles really are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. Not your business, but knows your name. All right? Yeah. Some people don't like to know your business. But can I just say, that's the kind of church that we're trying to build at Highland Hope. It's a place where connectedness and acceptance are the norm and not the exception. It's a place where difference is welcomed and not feared. Scary, huh? It's a place where souls can come and find a friend. You know, there is a hunger in everyone's soul, starving for the investment of true friendship. Can I just tell you, here in our urban areas, I don't think we would have the gang problems that we have, the drug problems that we have here in the U.S. of A., If it were not for the fact that people are hungering for authentic relationships, even in our high schools, elementary schools, junior high school, all of the peer pressure, the bullying that goes on is because there is a hunger, even in the youngest soul, I want to be identified with. I want to be connected to. I want to have a place. I want to go where people are glad that I came. They're glad that I showed up. You don't want to be a part of a church when they say, when they see you come and say, oh my God, here comes Hannah again. Who wants to be a part of that church? No, you want to be a part of a church who can look out and say, man, I am so glad that William is in the house. I am so excited. Oh, Ruth, man, I waited all week to see you. All of us want to be a part of a family that cares. And if possible, you want somebody to notice when you're not there. Like the family is not complete. Some part of us is missing. Well, you know, somebody has to take that step to show up. And if you watch Cheers, it would be overtime. It's after work. They're at the end of the day. And what do? They gather around the bar. Why do people gather around the bar and sit around the church? Because so many of our churches have such expectations. The expectations are way up. Even if we can't live up to them, we want the newcomers. By the way, Irma, you're a newcomer. We got some expectations we didn't tell you about. You know, don't that just make you feel good? Yeah, I thought I got it. No, Steve only told you half of it. Now we're going to tell you the rest of it, you know? No, people want to show up and know the moment you walk in the door, Irma, you are a family member. You may not have gone through the class yet, but you show up more than once, you'll probably be doing dishes around here. That's just the way it is because you are a family member. Now, I want you to take a good look at this next picture. This is a picture of some Hopper grandkids. Now, take a good look at this picture. When you look at this picture real close, you will notice that the girls have come to socialize. I'm telling you, yes, they have. And the boys have come to get her done. They're there and they're just going to exercise. Well, isn't that the way it is? When it comes to investing in relationships, girls and boys do it different, but it all requires spending a lot of time with each other. Now, I sort of had to put Jim under duress when I said this, but when girls are investing in friendships, we do a lot of talking. I'm just saying. He can't say amen, but he doesn't know what I'm doing. I know. I can see very good, right? And boys tend to spend a lot of time doing. Hey, man, you want to get together and work on the car this weekend? You want to go fishing? You want to go, well, where is he? Joe Mott worked out there on the building. I mean, several of them, they come and the boys, us girls, we like to talk our way into a relationship. Boys like to work their way into relationship. They need to have a hands ministry, and the girls like to have a heart ministry. So these girls up here, they might burn a few calories, but they're going to have a whole lot of fun. Because that's the way girls are. We are fishing for fun. I believe that Jesus chose fishermen first because the natural default button for fishermen is to go fishing, to go looking for something. Get the picture from the scriptures. Jesus, John's friendship with Andrew, positioned Andrew to follow Jesus because he had been with John. Andrew's relationship with Peter, Andrew was Peter's brother, brought Peter to Jesus. In today's scripture, Philip's relationship with Andrew and Peter, because they were from the same hometown, probably fishing buddies, positioned Philip to follow Jesus. And as soon as Philip has a relationship with Jesus, he uses his relationship to go get his BFF, who was Nathanael. And he invited Nathanael to come and follow Jesus. John sent Andrew and the other disciple to go fishing for Jesus. They went looking for him. As soon as Andrew got caught in the Jesus net, he understood that Jesus was the Messiah, the master teacher, the rabbi. The first thing that Andrew did was go fishing for his brother Peter. The next day, Jesus is in Galilee, and he goes on a fishing expedition, but he has two fishermen with him, Andrew and Peter. And there is Philip fishing. Jesus speaks to Philip, and he calls him, "Hey, Philip, come, I'm fishing for you, dude. Get in the net. Come and follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, recognized Andrew and Peter, so it made it easy for him to follow Jesus. And as soon as Philip accepted the invitation to jump in Jesus' net, Philip said to Nathanael, "Come and see what I have found. Come and experience what I have experienced. Come and see the one that Moses talked about and the prophets talked about. We have found him." People came to Jesus then because someone invested in their friendship. Someone cared enough to go tell someone else about Jesus. Now, in our 21st century context, we don't like to go anywhere. We like to use the come. They know what time church starts. You know, it starts at 10:45. No, the Bible doesn't say come. It puts us on a sending mission. Each one of these three, Philip, Andrew, and Peter, they all came to see Jesus, but then they went out to invite someone else. So here we are in our 21st century context, and we think it's too hard. It's too hard to talk to people about Jesus. Or some of us have convinced ourselves that, you know, it's politically incorrect to talk about Jesus. When in fact, people are more desperate for true, authentic relationship than ever before in the history of our nation. All the people are looking for something. They don't all know what they're looking for, and we don't always do a good job of packaging our Jesus story very well. But if you were able to read my e-note this week, you would know that I stated less than 2% of churchgoers ever invite unchurched persons to come and see. Yet the unchurched, 82% of unchurched people say that they are likely to come if they were invited. Can I just tell you, my friends, it's time we stop letting God win. It's time that we stop living in a place of, "Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I should talk about Jesus." No, you don't have to talk about Jesus. What you have to do is spend a lot more time listening to other people's story and being clear about your own story. What we want to offer people, if I may say so, is we will take this Bible and beat somebody over the head with it, and we'll tell them everything that they can't do. Very few of us tell them what they can do. Now, I got to tell you, I heard this wonderful story that makes my point very well. Because I just want y'all to know I'm doing all I can to ruin all the children of Highland Hope. But I got a little friend, he's upstairs. And he went to his grandmother's church and the Baptist preacher, sort of Baptist-like, it's not really a Baptist church, but pretty close in his theology. The other preacher, he was preaching, and he got to that point, one of those hellfire and brimstones, and he said, "We're going to go to hell." And that little hoper stood up and said, "No, I'm not, I'm going to heaven." Right in the middle of church last Sunday. Yes, he did. "I'm going to heaven." And here's what I want to tell you about this invitation. I don't want to just go to heaven. I want to take everybody to heaven with me that I can. It's about creating relationships that cultivate a mindset. I don't want to be in this by myself. And if I can get that little boy, is 4 years old, by the way. I just want to say. And he already knows. I ain't going to hell. I'm going to heaven. That's our challenge, is to help us to see it's not all on us. Instead of trying to beat people up and make them come the way we came, can I just say, we all have our own Jesus way and our own Jesus story. People are not looking for the Bible because they don't know to look for it. All right? They're not looking for Jesus because they have no place to start. But can I tell you, Jesus knows where they need to start. He knows where we need to start. We are God's fishermen right here on this earth. Rather than offering people the Bible that some of us have a hard time understanding ourselves, or trying to convince them about Jesus, I think what Jesus would say to us, why don't you try offering yourself? You see, there is no timidity in offering yourself, because the three things that God has given us to fish with, you know, every fisherman has some lure, and the lure changes according to what kind of fish you want to catch. Well, Jesus didn't get into that. He used the net. You know why he used the net? Because in a net, you can get all kinds of fish, and the lure, the bait, it's the same. You got power, you got love, you got sound mind, and you got a gentle spirit. That's the only bait that you need. It helps if you're still breathing. I just want to say. But you got everything that you need to become a listener so that other people can find their way to Jesus. So what is our job? Our job is not to have the best theological education or to have the greatest spiritual life ever talked about. Our job is real simple. Our task is to offer fellowship. Now, when you offer fellowship, you offer your friendship. Stop for a moment and think about this. When was the last time you made a new friend who was not already a caught fish? I just want to say, and we said it last night while we were at partying. Yes, the pastor knows how to party at a 25th wedding anniversary. I do know how to party. And I just wanted to say, while we were there, we were having a conversation. You know, the problem with church people is we like spending our time with church people. Don't we all like each other? That's who we are comfortable with. But you're not making new friends or new disciples with Jesus Christ, setting up with just yourself and others who are just like you. We are called to go out and fellowship and to catch some fish and to throw our nets wide. All right? So take a good look at this picture. When you look at this picture, just like Andrew, who fished for his brother first, Philip fished for his friends first, can I dare say that Wendy and Danetta and the women decided to go fishing for the women of Highland Hope first? That's their first step. And you know what happened? They had a phenomenal catch. Women fish differently than men do. All of us, however, are called to be on a fishing expedition for Jesus. Now, I want you to look at that picture real close. Now, what does that picture look like? You know, what does it look like? Huh? It looks like the Last Supper. Take a really good look. I'm telling you, Leonardo da Vinci could not have done a better job capturing the Lord's Supper than we did here. And let me tell you how we got to this place. Take a real good look. You see a lot of women in that picture. Those women did not show up. Somebody had to offer them friendship. Somebody had to offer them fellowship. And can I just say, it didn't hurt anything that we offered chocolate. Hello, somebody. You got to know what the fish are hungry for. And I can tell you, Wendy had her little kid, probably my little kid, any little kid she could find for a couple weeks standing at the door passing out little pieces of chocolate. And then she really went for me. She passed out dark chocolate. Hey, I'm just saying, dark chocolate fiend. I got some friends in here too. I'm not by myself. Even my daughter prefers dark chocolate. It's just in us, right? But she used fellowship and friendship, and she knew what women would respond to, right? All of us are on a fishing expedition. We just need to check our bait. What are you throwing out there for others to catch a hold of? Because our task as Jesus followers, every person in here, if you're old enough to talk, I'm going to heaven. That's four. So if you're at least 4 years old, this word is for you. All of us here, we need a come see ministry. Come and see what the Lord is doing. Some scripture said in Psalms, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and add a little chocolate and it even gets better. I'm just saying. For some of our guys, they're not interested in no chocolate party. I don't know why, R.A., but you guys like to get up early on Saturday morning and have yourself a breakfast. That's a man's thing. Ain't nothing wrong with it. But when you show up, there's some other men who don't have a church home. They know how to eat some bacon and eggs and biscuits. They know how to fry up some bacon. Ain't that right, Isaac? They all have something that they are hungering for. And it is a reflection of the deep hunger of their soul. And our job is to offer ourselves. You go down to Ethel's. You been to Ethel's yet? Have you been to Ethel's yet, Irma? Me and Irma are going to Ethel's. And then we're going to go on down to 501 Blues, aren't we? Because we want folks to come out to our motorcycle blessing, right? Now, let me tell you, I don't have a need for a motorcycle blessing. But let me just tell you, I know some motorcyclists who need to be blessed. And they won't come in here on Sunday morning. But I believe me and Irma and a couple more can get them to come here on Friday night. So we're going to have us a Friday night blessing. Why? Because we're throwing out the net that can catch the fish that we're fishing for. Look around your circle of family and friends. And instead of trying to get them to church at a certain time on a certain day, start asking yourself the question, what is he hungry for? What is she searching for? I want to make you a promise. When you start bringing those people to mind who you know can't quite find their way, and you begin to ask God, Lord, show me what they're hungry for. Trust me here. God will give you the bait to feed their souls. May it be so for all of God's fishermen. As we prepare to come to the table, you might take note in the Bible story, there is not one story in the whole Bible about Jesus going fishing. There is a story about Jesus being on the beach and cooking up some fish. There's a story about Jesus taking some loaves of bread, a few fish, and feeding 5,000. But there is no story about Jesus going fishing, because Jesus was a carpenter. Carpenters are logistical gurus. They make sure that everything is level. They make sure that everything lines up. And they're wonderful at delegating. Jesus didn't need to go fishing, because he called fishermen, experts at the job. And then I want to tell you something. Jesus did not ask the fishermen to go build him a house. He asked them to do one thing. Go fishing. You've been fishing for fish. I'll make you fisher of men. You are part of the God story that unfolds at this table. Because of those whom God called, God used them. And for over 2,000 years, people have been journeying to this table. Here at the table, the fishermen are fed. Here at the table, the fishermen are allowed to bring their brokenness. They're allowed to bring their hurts, their disappointments in life. Here at this table, God feeds the fishermen so that you can go out and feed others. Here in the United Methodist Church, you don't have to be United Methodist. You don't have to be a member of Highland Hope. All you have to do to come to this table is love Jesus and have a sincere desire in your heart to love Jesus' kids. Let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. On the night in which Jesus was to be betrayed, he took bread, he lifted it toward heaven, he gave thanks over the bread, and he said, This bread, it is my body. It's broken for you. And in like manner, he took the cup, he lifted it toward heaven, spoke a word of blessing over it, and he said, This cup, it is my blood of the New Testament poured out for you. The bread and the cup, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Chris, the body of Christ given to you, blood of Christ. We invite our service to come forward. We will be doing communion via intinction today, so you will take a wafer, place it in the cup, and then you may eat. Jim, the body of Christ, poured out for you. Stacy, the body of Christ, broken for you. Tim, the body of Christ, broken for you. Jim, the body of Christ, broken for you. Keith, the body of Christ, broken for you. Lisa. The gifts of God are ready for the people of God. Come and feast on his love, his grace, and his mercy. Come as the ushers direct. Thank you.
come to the fountain, dip your heart in the stream of life, let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy. As deep cries out to deep, we sing, come Lord Jesus, come Lord Jesus, come Lord Jesus. Your heart in the stream of life, and the pain and sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy. And steam cries out.
Here in this place, and God woos us by His love, His mercy, and His grace. Our God is a God who invites, one who welcomes us into the family, and each one of us, by the waters of our baptism, we have been created in His image. And because we're created in His image, We are like him. Our God is a God who invites, and he invites us to be like him, to be invitational. Yeah, I see. She finally filled up her whole row. She's been working on that row. Amen. Tutors, you got your whole row. William helped you out today. They got the whole row. It's not about filling the building up. It's about offering Christ in a way that others can say yes. So as you go out into this week, I pray upon you a blessing. I pray that God would meet every need of you and your family. I pray that you will have eyes to see the miracles that God is doing in and through you. I pray over these next couple days that you will keep Sophie on your heart, on your lips, and in your prayers. I pray that God will spread your net so wide that you will be filled up with salmon and tuna and all kinds of fish, because you never know when you're using a net. I pray God's greatest blessing on you. May you have an awesome week running into the new catch that God has designed just for your story. God bless. See you soon.